John, I've been fascinated with Babylon for nearly 40 years, and that's why I'm so excited about today's guest.
Yeah.
He's one of only a handful of people who truly understands the significance of this ancient city. Dr. Andy Woods is a first-rate scholar. He earned 2 undergraduate degrees, 1 in business administration and a 2nd in political science, before going on to get his law degree. And then he earned his Master of Theology degree and Ph.D. from Dallas Theological Seminary. Andy currently serves as an associate professor at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston, and he also pastors a church in the greater Houston area. And in his spare time, Andy's written numerous articles for theological journals and books, and is a sought-after speaker at Christian conferences. Andy, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
I've been looking forward to our time together. Now, someone listening right now, their response might be, as they heard the topic, well, who cares about Babylon? That's ancient history. So let me start by asking that very question. Why should anyone who's listening today be interested in Babylon?
Well, that's a great question. I think to be interested in Babylon is really to be interested in the Bible. And as I got interested in the subject, I saw it kind of as a freight train, you know, that was making its way all the way through the scripture, you know, starting there in really Garden of Eden and moving to the Tower of Babel. And then you have the captivity of the southern kingdom by Babylon. And then you have all of these interesting prophecies in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah, which talk about a restored Babylon. And it moves right on into the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18. So it's like a major, major theme of the Bible. And so to understand Babylon is really to understand the Bible.
You know, I love the way you said that. It really is one of those themes that extends through the Bible. You mentioned a couple of the, not just the history of Babylon, but the prophecies, you know, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah, the book of Revelation. I know there are a lot of Bible scholars, especially as they look at the Old Testament, who say, well, those prophecies have, you know, they were predictions in the past, and they were fulfilled in the past. What's your view on prophecies like Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50 and 51?
Well, you know, when you get into the particulars of those passages, they talk about a destruction of Babylon that really doesn't fit the known facts of history. You know, for example, it talks about Babylon's destruction in the Isaiah passage and the Jeremiah passage in cataclysmic sudden terms. It uses terminology such as when Babylon falls, she'll never be inhabited again, and things of this nature. It even talks about the nation of Israel being regenerated almost like a cause and effect after Babylon falls. And, you know, you scrutinize history, and you just can't find anything like that historically. You know, when Babylon fell to the Persians back in 539 B.C., and that's recorded in Daniel 5, the historical documents we have indicate there wasn't even much of a battle. There wasn't a battle, and yet Isaiah 13 and 14 is talking about a cataclysm. So, you know, my thinking on it is if God means what he says and says what he means, and God cannot lie, which he can't, then Babylon has to come back to life to be destroyed in this specific manner spoken of by those prophecies. And when you have that perspective, then suddenly those two important chapters in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, start making a whole lot of sense.
Dr. Andy Woods is a professor at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston and joins us today on The Land of the Book for a close-up look at Babylon. You know, Andy, I have to ask, do you think there is something significant in the selection of Babylon itself? What is God trying to say to us, if anything, by making such a big deal out of Babylon in both the Old and New Testaments?
Well, it seems to me that Babylon is the, you know, the book of Revelation, you know, talks about Babylon being the mother of all harlotry. That's the title that's on the harlot's forehead. And that imagery really is very significant going all the way back to Genesis 11, where God confounded the languages of the builders at the Tower of Babel. And the sin, whatever was taking place there at Babel, was exported everywhere into every culture. So Babylon has had a massive effect, going back to Genesis 11, on literally every culture that's followed. And so, you know, that point alone makes it a huge issue as far as God is concerned. I do understand this much from the Bible, that Satan was very frustrated and thwarted by what happened in Genesis 11. And I always have seen it as his dream sort of to bring back that whole system, you know, that existed in Genesis 11, mm-hmm. where Satan was sort of ruling over a man named Nimrod. I think in Hebrew, Nimrod's name means revolt or rebellion. And God stopped that building project dead in its tracks, and Satan has always wanted that project back. And I believe in the tribulation, he will rule over an individual, the Antichrist, who will rule Babylon, and through Babylon the world will be controlled, you know, for a season. And so it's sort of an ambition of Satan that he's always wanted back, that he will get back, but God thus far has thwarted the progress.
You know, Andy, as you trace that thread of Babylon through the Bible, there's another thread that seems to wind its way almost in parallel with it, and that's Jerusalem. You know, starts in Genesis and goes to the book of Revelation. How do you see God weaving those threads together or putting them in counterpoint? Do you see much significance to that?
I do. I mean, I see Babylon and Jerusalem constantly at odds with each other. You know, we think of the Babylonian captivity, where Nebuchadnezzar, you know, brought the southern kingdom into captivity. And we see that same hostility existing right on up into the tribulation period, you know, where the Antichrist is going to be persecuting the nation of Israel for a season. And yet, through that whole period of time, the crux of the nation, or remnant, will come back to Christ. And consequently, God will fulfill his covenants through the nation of Israel, and Babylon will finally be overthrown and be superseded by the city of Jerusalem upon the earth. But that ancient conflict that's coming, you know, it's almost been prefigured many, many times in the past. And the good news about the whole thing is God is going to win. So even if the listeners don't grasp all the particulars, those are the two important words of the book of Revelation.
Oh, that's right. Now I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a minute. You know, as you were talking earlier, you know, Babylon is predicted, the predictions about it haven't been fulfilled. So Isaiah and Jeremiah and the book of Revelation picture a future evil empire of Babylon that's going to be destroyed. Yeah. But I know enough about the Bible to know that in the book of Daniel, he predicted four empires, you know, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and says that that fourth empire is the one that's going to be around when the Messiah comes. And indeed, Rome was here when Christ came the first time. And in Revelation, it looks like that beast, that final empire, Rome, is around the second time. So how can I have two end-time evil empires, Babylon and Rome? And I think a lot of people would say that's why they would take Babylon spiritually. So how would you answer that kind of an objection?
Well, the idea of a revived Rome, I'm looking at here at Daniel 7:23, and it says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms." And it says it will devour the whole earth and crush it. So it's more than just a revived Rome. It's something that encompasses, to my mind anyway, the entire world. And it wouldn't be too far-fetched to see that entire structure, that global structure, headquartered in Babylon. And that's why when you get to Revelation 17, you don't have one image there. You've got two images. You've got the woman there in chapter 17 who represents the city of Babylon, and you've got the beast that represents this kind of, some would call it a revived Rome. I call it more of a revived global structure of some kind. But as the listeners look carefully at Revelation 17, they don't just see one entity there, they see two. And so there has to be some kind of relationship between the two, so it's not one versus the other. It's more of a both and, you know, sort of scenario.
We're talking with Dr. Andy Woods, who serves as professor at the College of Biblical Studies in Houston, a pastor, a sought-after speaker. We're talking about Babylon today on The Land and the Book.
Yeah, Andy, we've been talking here, you know, Babylon not only in history and the role it played, but in the future. I'm sure there are listeners who are saying, well, why would God even tell us anything about the future? You know, what's the purpose for Bible prophecy, and why is it important to know what God said about the future?
Well, this is actually the area that got me interested in the Bible, you know, in terms of studying it as intensely as I have, because you start to understand that the Bible is unique amongst the holy books, alleged holy books of the world. It has this quality where it predicts things before they transpire. And, you know, going all the way back to the prophet Isaiah, God, through Isaiah, you know, challenged the nation of Israel that was involved in idolatry. You know, God basically says, which one of your idols can predict the future? I alone have this quality. And so there are those of us, and I think most people in the world, don't want to accept things blindly. No one wants a blind faith, but we need some sort of proof, you know, for the things that the Bible claims about itself. And I think one of the ultimate proofs of the Bible, if not the ultimate proof, is this ability that the Bible has to reveal the end from the beginning. And it demonstrates that the scripture emanated, you know, not from the mind of a fallen person, but from an omniscient or an all-knowing God. So that's the very personal significance of prophecy, you know, at least to me.
You know, again, if somebody's listening and they're going, wow, that makes sense, but I don't even know where to start. You know, if I wanted to study prophecies, you know, which book of the Bible would I begin in? Is there a good place you would direct someone if they wanted to truly understand what the Bible says about the future or about prophecy?
That's a hard question to answer, you know, because the whole Bible is prophetic. The whole Bible reveals the end from the beginning. And what I would suggest people do is not to necessarily camp in one book of the Bible, but really to just start in the book of Genesis, you know, and just start reading through it, and to, you know, sort of make notes as to every time there's a prediction given. For example, you get very early on in the Bible to Genesis 3, verse 15, and there's a prophecy given about the coming Messiah, you know, how he will crush the head of the serpent, and you see prophetic information there. And I can't help but think about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God revealed to Abraham, you know, in advance what would happen. And, you know, maybe a book by Dr. John Walvoord, where he traces, the title of the book escapes me, but he traces every single prophecy through the Bible, and he shows that prophecy is not just limited to one book of the Bible, but it's in all 66 books. And so, you know, kind of making your way through the Bible with a sensitivity to its predictive abilities, you know, highlighting different passages is a great way to study end times prophecy.
Yeah, Andy, that's a great way, I think, to end our time, to know the Bible, read the Bible. Thank you for being with us today. We really do appreciate you taking the time.
It's been an honor. Thanks for having me.
So you listen to this conversation with Andy Woods, and all kinds of questions come into your mind, right? I'm the same as you, and that's why I'm so excited about our segment coming up. It's Bible Questions and Answers with our host, Dr. Charlie Dyer. So keep it here on The Land and the Book.